All right. We are on lesson 7. I think we got through a whopping 2 questions last week. So we are on question 3, I believe. And again, we're on the topic of acceptance. And we did reconciliation, Ellen, the acceptance. And Mike and I were talking actually on Friday night a little bit about this, how important this is, the topic of acceptance. A lot of what Mike shared on Friday night touched on this, and what we miss by not fully understanding our position in acceptance. And so as we go through this, it is an important topic, and I think one that impacts a lot of believers. Let's start with question 3. How does God use the condition-centered viewpoint in a believer for their spiritual growth? So condition-centered, that's the self-centered. How does he use that for spiritual growth? He does it just for fun? We do it just for fun? How does he use it?
Well, we see it's by, I don't know, I just say for myself, because when I try to do something, I get very fearful, and that's, I think that's condition, like me. So it helps you to see that you're not in charge, and that I don't know how to express it.
Okay, I'll touch on that. Other people. How does he use the condition, the center condition or condition-centered issues, or how does he use that for your spiritual growth? What does it do?
Well, it points
echoing
you
silence.
To the position.
That we're getting there. Others, we want none of you. Not you. All perfect. You're in your position. No condition-centered problems at all.
I think it creates the point of contrast between who you are in Christ and who you are when you're depending on yourself and not abiding.
Yep. Others?
I put it creates a need.
Creates a need. Okay. Others? All chickens?
It also makes us recognize that only Christ is sufficient. You know, it's an experiential thing. And, well, I failed again. You've got to help, Lord. You got to be in control. It's your life I'm looking for, not mine.
Yeah, we're kind of going around the periphery a little bit about this. I think these are all true. But what the other thing, what does it really point out?
Difference between Adam's nature and Christ's?
Yeah. How about the utter worthlessness of ourself? You know, I think you kind of pointed to kind of the positive side of it, that we're going to our need in Him and some of that, but I think what it really does is point out at what is the end of Romans 7?
Christ is the answer.
Before that.
Oh, wretched man.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Because he went through all of that condition-centered, I can do this, I know I want to do this, I really want to do this, I'm trying as hard as I can. What was his result? Oh, wretched man that I am. It pointed to the worthlessness of human or self-efforts and self. That's what going through this condition-centered, it points to how worthless it is. Which then points out the value, or Christ crucifying us was the best thing that ever happened. You know, it really, going through these conditions really points to the fact that there's nothing good in us. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much you bake cookies for people, walk the little old lady across the street, no matter how good you feel about yourself, there is nothing good in the old Adamic man. And these conditions, when you get into that, points to that. And it's not until we understand that in our flesh, what does it say in Romans 7:18? Dwelleth no good. So a little bit of good. You know, I really helped out last week. Was that, you know, because I really thought God would smile on me a little bit more. Was that just a little good in me? No.
Yeah. So I've come to class and I hear you say this. But then in my heart I think, well, you know, someone's telling me that I've got to go through this difficult situation where I must allow that in my flesh dwell is no good thing. But if I'm honest with myself, I'm not there. So the point of the question is it's okay to recognize you're not there, but trust me, God will get you there.
It's not
outside the purview of his natural methods of causing us to grow, to have us enter into this understanding.
Well, this is, he's using this. And what I had in here too is that, remember, this is pointing to our position of acceptance. And the Lord uses all these things to root out anything that says that it's because of us. That's all this purpose is, to root out all those things. As Mike said, and I've got a couple other questions like this that I really want a lot of people to try and answer, because in your heart of hearts, do you really think you're worthless?
Yes.
I mean, in the very corners, deep down, you're kind of an all right guy.
Doesn't it also show up that God is not, he's bigger than what we envisioned? I think the phrase is, God is good when things turn out good in an operation, but God is bad if they're not. And I'm saying, hey, wait a minute. This is his way of working. I mean, it's natural for him to expose us to these things.
Yeah, I think Hal had it that there are no tragedies in a Christian's life. And I really, that's really hard. But when you really understand, I go back to a lot of the two things that I really cling on to a lot. He's in control of all things, and he loves me with an eternal love that I can't be separated from. So when the operation doesn't go well, or something that we don't understand happens, does he not love us with the same eternal love? And that's the question that we look at. A lot of times we think, yeah, he's bad, or he's, oops. Does God ever say, oops, he missed something? Oh, he should have been in that, he should have had the better doctor. No, he knows exactly what he's doing. And the thing is, he loves us with an eternal love. No matter what circumstances, he loves us. And he's using all these things. And we get actually one of those questions coming up is going to talk about that. But
I was just going to make a comment that I think one of the tricks is that when you realize that you have failed or you've relied on your condition, then you feel bad.
Yeah. Getting to our position of acceptance. You know, and that's really what, again, all of this is pointing to is our position of acceptance. We talk about this, and this is kind of what we talked a little bit on Friday night about is, and we'll get into it in a little bit more in the questions. But we talk about this about in a lot of Christians beat themselves up for a sin or whatever. And they just can't get over it. Or they just, or, I how could Christ love me? How could I, because I did this. Did Christ pay for that sin? Is God done with that sin? Why aren't you? And we beat ourselves up, and I think this goes to the acceptance. How could he accept me if I'm such a sinner? How could he do that? We don't understand the position of acceptance. And there's so many Christians that beat themselves up repeatedly without understanding this point of acceptance. And it's and what it points out is that it's nothing of us. Nothing. It's because he crucified our old man and then placed us into Christ. Totally in Christ. So, you know, and I the question before was, in the deepest, darkest recess of your heart, do you think there's a little good in you, in the old man?
You hope so.
You hope so. And I mean, if I think we're really honest with ourselves, there's something that says, yeah, you know, there's a little bit of good. There's not. Romans 7, nothing good dwelleth in here. So that goes back to this position of acceptance and how important that is. That we understand that. And there's a thing in the Green Letters one, or the with Miles saying, I like this, to abide in Christ and to consent to be loved while unworthy is the believer's positional privilege and responsibility. Love functions according to its nature, not according to the quality of its object.
What page is that?
it's in chapter 3.
It's in chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
As many times as I've read it.
But do you listen to what that says? To abide in Christ and to consent to be loved while unworthy is the believer's positional privilege and responsibility. You know, think about what that means. Loved while unworthy. I think we have a really hard time about that. But that's because we don't really, I think, appreciate our position in Christ, which then gets us to that position of acceptance. I look at it as God, and it's hard to get to this point, but how God sees us. No matter what's going on with us, how does God see us?
In Christ.
In Christ. That's how he sees us. No matter what, he sees Christ. We may think we're unworthy, we may think all this, but God looks at us and he sees Christ. That's the position of acceptance.
What I was wondering is, it says condition over here,
mm-hmm.
and you keep all position of acceptance?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm confused about why it says condition over here.
Well,
It says condition, you keep saying opposition.
There's a position of acceptance and the self-centered or we tend to, on a conditional basis, mm-hmm. think about what I did wrong.
Yeah.
And it's, if I just do a little bit better, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing is where I'm looking at self, and that's a conditional. But you know, eventually our condition and our position will be together. But it's really the believer's understanding of what our position is in acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's solely and only because of Christ. And I, you know, that when I say the believer, a lot of believers beat themselves up because they're thinking they're looking, that Christ or God is looking at all of that bad stuff that's still in the flesh. He's not. He crucified it. And he sees us in Christ.
Is it not our condition is whether we believe that or not?
Yeah. It goes back to what we talked about too, which was our last class, about faith. Do you believe that? And that's where I'm going to get at another question. Do you believe that? It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. The point is still the same.
But your condition is affected by whether you believe it or not.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm thinking as you're talking, in today's society we have a lot of problems with two issues, anxiety and depression.
Yes.
The interesting thing about both of those is that they're self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the kind of thing that anxiety can be caused by how you view yourself as not being acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Or not living up to some standard, or so you're anxious about it, or you're a dad, and boy, I'm not being a very good dad, or I'm not a good provider, or I'm not really accepted in the tribe, or whatever it is. and then I get depressed about it. And I think it's important to understand that the world has a supposed solution for that, which is medication. The Lord has a solution for that, which is the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That this old man who is depressed and anxious was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were just saying, my whole responsibility before God is just to believe in
right.
it. And a lot of times I have to go against what I'm thinking and feeling and all of that.
Absolutely.
Just take him at his word.
Yeah, you know, the other thing you say, medication, the other thing the world always says is self. Yeah. Fix yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is the Romans 7. You know, how do you do it by yourself? You don't.
Well, and there's such a tendency, too, to compare yourself with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's doing better than you are, or, you know, that kind of equality. Where are you talking about acceptance being in Christ?
Yeah.
And that all people, everybody, is exactly the same,
yeah.
regardless of how successful or unsuccessful they are in the world.
Right, you know, the other, which, you know, a lot of believers is, you know, they're great Christian leaders. And... you know, I caution people always to look, you know, and they think, oh, that's a great, I want to be, usually about 2 years later, they're caught in some horrible sin or something like that. But, you know, it's never should we put our focus on man. The focus is always on Christ. And, you know, the thing about the depression and all that is how, it's these illogical choices that we make.
Oh, please.
Wow.
I have, we've talked about this way back when I first started coming. I have problems with depression. I have problems with anxiety.
Yeah.
And I don't want to feel bad about it.
You shouldn't. No, it's, I do it on, and I'll tell you what, you know, some of the things, I'll tell you, I owe actually an apology to Laban. I actually...
About time.
I have been beating myself up ever since Friday night because I was, in my making humor, I jumped on him about his new haircut and I was giving him a bunch of grief about that. And I thought, well, that, you know... And I assume it was probably St. Baldrige. What, you did a St. Baldrige thing or something? Is that, yeah.
No, that's not right.
Oh, well, maybe I've been beating myself up for nothing, but I was giving him a bunch of grief, and I thought, well, that's really good on Good Friday. I'm beating him up and telling him about his haircut, you know. And I've been waiting to talk to you. I didn't mean to do this publicly like this, but I'll take the opportunity to do that.
I like that. Your haircut. So maybe he should stand up so we can.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been beating myself up thinking about this, and just I shouldn't have given any grief, and I was like, you know. And I think, I guess back to your question is the illogical choice, and we all make it, not you, not, we all make this, is we choose not to believe what he told us. And I think about the freedom that we have by our position of acceptance when we understand that and we believe it. It takes all of this garbage out. And I think, you know, I make these dumb mistakes and I beat myself up and it's like, you know, and you can do some things and there are consequences. You know, if you shoot somebody, you're going to have consequences. You know, there will be consequences to that. But in God's eyes, if you're a believer, you're still in Christ. You know, but you're going to be hauled away. You may be executed. You may be whatever. But we make the choice of not believing these things. And I go back to the freedom that we have in this. I, you know, one of my, every once in a while, Lord dumps this on my heart, I think, is a ministry to prisoners about the freedom we have through identification, grace, and just what we're talking about today, acceptance. Think of all the people who are in prisons who are thinking about all the bad things they've done and are locked up, not only in the physical prison, but the prison of all the things that they think are bad and done and all that. Think about how freeing the message of identification is. Crucify everything that you have had happen to you, that you've done, is all been crucified and taken away. And you're now placed into Christ. All of that is gone. All that that you have. I'm not saying you understand that right away, but how freeing that is to a prisoner. How freeing that is to us. Truly understanding that and believing that, what freedom that has for us.
I know that God's forgiven me for, you know, just like He's forgiven everyone else that believes. That's not it. It's other things.
Well, I don't want to get into all that. I just think that the thing is
that you can be depressed.
Yeah, but
when you have two granddaughters that are very sick, and my daughter's husband who has cancer, I'm not saying that every other family doesn't have problems, I'm here because I want to learn how to handle these things, and most of the time I do.
And you are. You have come so far. You have come so far. It is. We talk about this. It is amazing to see how far you've come.
Well, you know,
and don't be. You know, we live in a fast food society. I want it now. I want my coffee in 30 seconds out of the microwave.
Yeah.
I want all this right now. So these things take quite a while to get to. But it's, you know, and the Lord takes us through these things to get us to a point. And it's
up. I believe that now. I understand that now, that you go, and I see how my daughter has grown in her belief by and she even said that. She said, I would never have had the faith I have now had all these things not happened to me.
See,
I know.
See, that's
She's
the thing.
Than I am.
But see, that's the things that he's just what we're talking about in this
right.
question.
I understand that. So and I'm sorry, but I'm having 9 people over to my side. And I got up at 5 o'clock. I'm sorry.
No.
But your family, so I can...
No, and that's exactly it.
Right.
But I want to tell you, you know, you have grown considerably through this, you know, from... You know, an understanding. And it's a process. It's spiritual growth. You know, and mine is, you know, and I look in the mirror. I have to say the same things. You know, do I believe this? And really, after our faith class, really hit me hard. I've been putting together a whole bunch of stuff after that class because of, do I believe this? Do I believe this? There are so many promises that he has, so many facts. And do I believe it or not? Do I have the personal faith? We know what the faith is. It's not of us. It's the things of God, the Hebrews 11:1. But the personal faith, do I believe that? And if I don't, why not? And why do I choose not to do that? That's my question. I go through this a lot. I go through it probably more than you do. You know, about questioning, why don't I believe this? I see all this. I got 15 pages I've shown of things. And why don't I believe this?
Well, you do.
I don't. There are many things that I look at and I don't. And I wonder why I don't.
I think on the topic of depression and anxiety, there has to be a footnote added to that, but it can't be by... I mean, I think that all the discussion was good, but you do need to insert footnotes for that, because I've seen people that was all that was needed.
Right, and there's a lot of different things. I don't mean that if I did that, I didn't mean to trivialize that. That is a fact, and he said it, medications. I was addressing the other half of that. that by medication, there are that need medication. I don't want to discount that too.
So kind of an ongoing thought here. This question, number three, it has this thinking condition, which is sort of a short-sighted effort to answer a question in the sense of there's more to that. So we never allow ourselves to stay in question three and not leave Romans 7 and go into Romans 8. So with that footnote, there's this other thought that's kind of occurred to me. With this concept of, like, self-reflection and why do I allow myself to do those things, and mm-hmm. we're going to think along those lines for just a little bit. I think it would be good to just, like, refer back to something that you mentioned back in January about that essential identity in terms of personhood, who we are.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Lord made each and every one of us unique in eternity past to be exactly who you are, and that's not the person you need to be beaten up.
Yeah.
And it's literally the sin nature that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't hate the essential personhood of who you are. You
right.
hate the sin nature that you're trusting in. And that's where your frustration lies, mm-hmm. is in the sin nature and the choice that you made to trust that sin nature, not in who you are and how God made you.
Right.
So there can be frustration in our conditional walk. Question 3 talks about that. How do we view that conditional situation that we're in, but don't have frustration with who God created you to be. The frustration is towards the sin nature and how you trusted. Yeah.
Would you say the way God originally created you or recreated you in Christ?
Recreated. In fact, that's that whole person, and there's a progressive transition in that personhood for the believer.
Right.
And that recognition of who is anxious, who is disappointed, is it who I am in Christ or who I was in Adam that's being manifested in that disappointment or that discouragement or that anxiety? And recognizing the new man that God has made us is not that way. It's Christ's life that would be suffering. And I think there is a suffering, however, of the new man through that, because we share the sufferings of Christ when sin occurs. There's consequences, and there's not just penalties to be paid.
I just have one more thought. I wanted to make sure I get this out. Laura mentioned it a while back. Do we sit there and focus on our hate for sin, and in our case, the sin nature and condition? That's what's in the way. And Vernal's often talked about at one point during the Law of Grace series, he just wants sin out of the way so he can have an abiding fellowship with you in the moment.
Right.
Sin, don't focus on the sin nature and the issue. It's about the abiding. That needs to be out of the way so that abiding can take place.
Right.
That's the issue. So focusing on sin and our hate for sin and
right.
like, why do I have to deal with this sin nature? That's in the way. The point is personal fellowship with who you are in Christ.
That's the Romans 7. You know, and that, and again, the thing, remember the importance of position, and what we're discussing is our acceptance before God. That's the point. The position that we have, the position we have, the acceptance in Christ. That's the focus. Not all the extraneous stuff.
That's real.
Yeah.
The other is a lie.
Yeah. I mean, the real is our position. And again, what kind of goes back to whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. It's still true about you.
But it does matter, because if you don't believe it and you can't live like you do, you're miserable.
Right. But you're choosing to do that.
But you're not miserable all the time.
But my point is, if focusing on our acceptance in Christ, if we focus on the other, like Paul in Romans 7, it's the wrong focus.
Our acceptance is his acceptance.
Exactly. That's what, you know, where are we seated positionally right now? In Christ. At the right hand of God. That's where God sees us. That's my whole point of the importance of the position of acceptance. Again, what JD's saying is, you know, all this other stuff is extraneous and gets in the way. Focuses on the position of acceptance. And that's where the freedom comes. That's where, you know, the Galatians 5:23, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy, peace, all those things. When we have all these other things, are they the fruit of the Spirit? When we have frustration, when we have anger, when we have all these things.
Depression.
Well, so that's not who you are, Omar.
Of course, that isn't who I am.
Right. And
I know
that's
that.
That's the conversation in your own spiritual growth that takes place. And for me, it's a different one.
Yeah.
But depression in the sin nature, that's where it lies. It does not lie in who you are in Christ. And that won't be an eternal state for you because that's not where you're.
Yeah.
I mean, when you are face to face with the Lord, that sin nature is no longer going to plague you.
See, and I think that's it, you know, JD, and what I try to say too is you may struggle with those. Every one of the other people
in
here.
Everyone in my family, like seven. Some of them were nuts.
you haven't met my family. Not this one, but my family growing up. Who my family is? I could go tit for tat for you on family if you want.
I mean, family.
And not my immediate family now. That's why I'm excluding that. I could go with you on that forever. But JD is right though. I mean, and what I try to say too is. The Lord has us in different positions going through different things. We all go through these different things. And the point of the question is, it's why does he use that or how does he use it? It's to refocus us on our acceptance in him. All these distractions, all these other things, he uses to point, who are you depending upon? Who are you relying on? Who is your focus on? All those are meant to focus us back on Christ and our acceptance in him. And I got to pound that more, that just think what that is. Your position of acceptance in Christ. All this other peripheral junk, he doesn't even see. He sees us in Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit's working, convicting and convincing us, trying to get us to focus back. Using all these things to focus our attention back on the Lord and our position in Christ, our acceptance in Christ.
I think you just made an interesting point. Just because I have the knowledge doesn't mean I'm free.
No.
And so the work of the Spirit is to actually and conditionally free me from what I already know is true of me positionally. Mm-hmm. And so that therein lies the struggle. You know, it's one thing. I remember... called up Miles one time years ago, and I'm in the middle of this whole thing, and I said, Miles, when am I going to get free? And he said, you'll walk away from self when you know you can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, okay.
Thanks.
The point being is that this whole enterprise and exercise has to be carried on in me by the Holy Spirit. If I can't decide, I can decide to believe, but I cannot implement. He's got to do it.
Yep.
And I think it's important for us to understand that.
That's why.
But just because I think, okay, yeah, I believe you, but the actual conditional freedom and abiding in Christ is something the Spirit has to do.
Right.
I can't do it myself. I can trust Him to do it.
You know, one other thing I think I've learned is, like, it doesn't say that God made me righteous. He declared me righteous. See, there's a difference.
He declared us righteous in Christ.
Righteous in Christ. So, like, he didn't make me righteous, so I just am perfect and don't do anything wrong. He declared me because of what Jesus did.
Because where he positioned us.
Yeah.
Not because of anything of good in me. And that's why the Romans 7, that nothing good dwells in me. Or in that 7. What is it? Yeah, 7:18. Dwells no good thing in me.
What I was thinking about when that veil ripped in two, that was a perfect proof that our acceptance was in him.
I was thinking that the other night too.
Oh, yeah,
you know, and the other thing is, you know, it's both ways. Both ways.
Yeah.
I can go in. Right. He comes to me. It's now an open relationship.
Right.
Open, 100%, nothing in the way.
okay. I can pull my thought together. I wanted to address for a minute the question of depression, because I think it's very real, even among people who know the word well and have walked with the Lord a long time. I've struggled with it tremendously, less of later years. But I think if we know the word, as we grow in our reading of the word and our understanding of the word, the Holy Spirit brings to mind things that are applicable at various times. And there is a verse that says, the sin that does so easily beset us. And I used to think that that was the fact that I did this wrong, or I did that wrong, or I did something else wrong. I had a bad thought, or I was jealous, or most of it was inside, not overt. But I don't think that's what it is. I think it's the sin nature so easily besets us. And I think in recognizing the fact that we're free from that, and yet the Lord tells us that we are beset by this thing that we still have within us, which of course doesn't want the relationship with the Lord. And so we have these insecurities and things, and it helps to know that the Lord knows why we have that, that it's our sin nature. And then it says, come to Him to find grace to help in time of need. So in recognizing that I have this sinful nature that's fearful and doesn't want to trust the Lord, even though I've walked with Him more than 50 years now, He has grace. I mean, we have all of it all the time available to us, but there are times when we need more. I don't know what that means, but it's practical.
Well, let's go to question four, actually. That maybe what will allow us to increasingly willingly to reject self and to leave all that sinful source on a cross for daily crucifixion? How do you, kind of addressing what you were saying, what will allow us to increasingly reject the self?
As we grow in our love for the Lord and our understanding of who we are, where we are, not only as a human, that we have our human nature still, recognizing that, and recognizing His love for us and what He has, where He's placed us in Himself, and what He's done for us and what He will do for us. And it's a response of love.
Others, quickly?
Well, it is daily crucifixion. I mean, you have to get up every morning and say, I'm crucified again today. I mean, is it just that you're crucified with Christ? Or is it like, I don't know.
I go back to the Romans 6. What's it say? Reckon yourself dead and alive unto God. Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God.
Wouldn't that be reckoning that I have been crucified, not that, thank you, Lord, I'm being crucified again today?
Yeah, it's understanding
but
your position.
It's all done, it's finished.
But realizing that there's still a sin nature in you.
Right.
Reckon yourself dead unto this sin and alive unto God. That's what I take that to be.
Well, you know, Paul, and this is something when I first started coming, Paul asked, he prayed three times and asked to be delivered from
the thorn in his side.
So I think, you know, maybe I would, not telling what I might have done, maybe if I hadn't. I don't know.
See, but I think that goes to the understanding of, he understood at that point the position, you know, his weakness.
Yeah.
was what God was using. If he was strong, Paul would have gone.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
With a thorn in the side, he has to rely upon the Lord. If he takes that away.
Well, that's what I was saying, but in a different way. I mean, theater was my background. And so maybe if I hadn't had this problem, which I've always had, that I might have gone crazy.
You know what, I always to that kind of stuff, because I look back in my past and I think of all stuff. And you know what, I praise God because he had me exactly where he wanted me.
That's right.
To get me exactly to this point today.
Exactly right.
He got me right here today for this day.
And he never gave up on me and brought me here when I was 80 years old.
This goes back to my ism. Does God ever say, oops? Did he miss you back then, 20 years ago?
No.
Did he not know of you? Did he not know everything about you 20 years ago? What about 20 minutes ago? What about 2 hours ahead of here? That's where the peace and the rest comes from, is understanding that.
Right.
And our position in Christ. I can't predict what's going to happen 2 hours from now, 2 days from now, 2 minutes from now. But I rest in the fact that he does. And he's allowed me to get to that point for some reason. And it's to have me dependent upon him, to realize that I'm, it's just what we're saying. He uses all these things to point us to himself.
Right.
And I can't stress that anymore, that this is our, you know, the acceptance that we have is full and complete in Christ. And as, you know, when we think depression or this in me and that in me, where is our focus? When we, and this goes back to, you know, and I we're going to go on question four next week, because this is where we want to hit, I want to hit you guys on personal thought on this and what it means. Because we talk about a lot of flowery terms and a lot of things, but what does that mean in shoe leather? What is, you know, we talk about things, we eloquently say this, that, or the other, but I really want to get from you a couple ideas. When we say some things, what does that truly mean to you now? And what does that mean? You know, Sam Belton, a friend of ours with the Lord now, you know, when the rubber meets the road, you know, what's in shoe leather? You know, when we talk about this, what do we really mean to you today? And we'll get into that in question four. But I really want, you know, think about it. Great discussion today, open. It's great. The keys are, again, and I go back to, unfortunately, Mike, you know, he pointed me years and years ago when I first met him. Just read the scriptures to know him. I can't thank him enough for that.
You're lying next time.
Yeah. That's a whole different matter. But to know him, that's the key. Because as we spend more time looking at him, we spend less time looking at ourselves.
Right. And I regret the day that I said, I find it hard to read the Bible every day. And then I said, because it's boring. And I didn't really mean that. I meant that when I just sit down and read it, it doesn't refer. I'm so used to Bible studies,
yeah,
for years and years and years. So
that's what he basically told me to do, is don't read it to study it, just read it.
Okay.
Just read it.
By the grace of God.
And, you know, mine is, and I think I've told you this, and this is not a program, not a law, not a rule, not a way. This is just me personally. You know, I started John, and I go to the beginning of Revelation. I read one chapter a day. Just read it in the morning. And I just read it. I don't get out my PC study Bible and go through every word and go through every whatever. I just read it. I just read it. And I really thank Mike for that, because it is. I just read it to know him. And it's amazing how much comes out of Scripture. And I've read it repeatedly. But it's a living document. And when you read it that way, it comes alive. You know, and you know, that's why I've got 15 pages of all these things I want to we want to teach on at some point. It's because each time I go through it, it's, oh, wow. Wow. All right, we need to close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you again just for what we've been studying, position, what that means. It's eternal, never to change. And as we realize what position means when we have acceptance, and that position will never change when we're in Christ. It is full, complete, nothing added, nothing needed. It's 100% acceptance in Christ, our position in Christ. And our position of acceptance is eternal. Nothing that we can do can ever change that acceptance. And we rest in that fact. We have peace in that fact. We have strength in that fact. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who convicts us and convinces us of our position in Christ. In our position of acceptance. We thank you for that. We thank you even through that process that is sometimes painful and long to get us to where we rest in our position. We thank you that you're never done with us. You're always working on us. And again, we just thank you for your many, many blessings to us. So we just thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.